the Early Years Insight. I'm Cathy Leatherborough from Eden, and today's guest is Heather Clark-Kelly from the Sunflower Day Nursery in Partleybridge. Welcome, Heather.
Hello there.
It creates a lot of stress and anxiety, doesn't it, the word Ofsted sometimes, and the build-up to the and the anticipation of it.
It's funny because I've had like a bit of a eureka moment, I suppose, because certainly I was that person. You know, I was getting very stressed and I was getting very anxious, and to the point where I would cancel family trips away if I felt it was an Ofsted window, and it was impacting my whole life as well as my work life. And certainly I think a lot of people still are there. You know, when you look on early years forums online or early years Facebook groups, that kind of thing, you always get the question, what do Ofsted think of? And, or should I be doing this for Ofsted? And that's sort of where I've had my eureka moment, if you like. That's where I've moved away. Because for a long time, it's always been my ethos at nursery that if any of my staff are saying, shall we do this for Ofsted? I've always said, absolutely, 100% not. You know, if that is your impetus, if that is your reason for doing it for Ofsted, then stop right there, turn around, have a little think, come back and see me in 10 minutes. Because ultimately, if it's Ofsted, my understanding, obviously speaking to an ex-Ofsted inspector, your understanding might be different, but my understanding is Ofsted don't have their own rules and regulations. Ofsted are making sure that we are following the industry rules and regulations which have already been set through things like the EYFS and the statutory guidance of the EYFS, etc., through what best practice models, you know, are out there. So I see Ofsted as not as a thing or a person that has a point of view about something. It's a person that is following the rule books, which we have to follow.
Absolutely.
Anyway. And that is all. That was like a big turning point in my life. So at nursery, as I say, if someone says, oh, what should we do? Do we need to keep this for Ofsted? It's like, hang on, you know, do we need to keep it for retention levels of documents? Do we need to keep this because it's within the EYFS that we have to do this? Is this in the best interest of the children? If we're meeting those things, then we're automatically going to be doing it right for Ofsted.
Yeah.
So it's actually about getting your practice to a level where you're proud of it. You know you're doing the right thing. You know you're making the right decisions for you, for the children, for your business. Then that will, by default, become the right thing for Ofsted. So that's been, you know, something that's followed us through for many, 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 many years. And it takes the stress out of it a lot. And it's about being proud of what you're doing. Because if you know why you have implemented something at nursery, or you know why you do something, or you know why you're staffing in a particular way, and you can actively be so confident that is the right way to do it, the right thing to do, that's, you sometimes maybe would have to convince Ofsted that you were doing the right thing for the reasons why you were doing it, but it wouldn't be for their own purpose, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Because, and then ultimately, they'd use proportionality in there as well. You know, because they will know that, you know, they're reading the same set of regulations as you are.
Yeah.
So when it would say, ensure that you develop, for example.
Yeah.
Then tell me how you ensure you develop.
Yeah.
You know, are you developing them? Are you ensuring that you're developing them? Have you got systems and processes in place to monitor that? But there's no set way.
No.
And what would work for one nursery wouldn't work for another.
Yeah.
Or even within one nursery, what would work for one group of children may not work for the next group of children within that room. So there's proportionality in there, there's interpretation in there, but fundamentally what would govern and drive forward an inspection would be, what is it like for a child here? Yeah.
And that's, if you're getting that right, then you're automatically getting it right for Ofsted.
Yeah.
And that has always been, you know, our driving force. And I think alongside that, you sometimes hear of some really scary practices going on where nurseries will ship in extra staff because they have an Ofsted inspection. They want to make everything so perfect for that day in the 6-year period that actually it becomes a bit ridiculous because your whole 6 year period, yes, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. And I'm sure, like yourself, you know, Ofsted inspectors know that.
Yeah. Well, I can take you back to before inspections were unannounced.
Mm.
When there was a time when they were all announced.
Yeah.
And I remember going to an inspection and sitting down in a preschool room with a little boy, and he was having the time of his life. He was living his best life. There was paint going everywhere. There was materials, glitter, sequins, stamps, rollers. He was so elated in this activity. He was telling me all about it. You know, this green paint was this, and he was rolling. I said, "Is this your favourite activity?" He went, "I love paint." I went, "I can tell." I said, "Do you do this every day?" He went, "Oh no." I went, "Oh, how come if it's not your favourite activity?" He said, "Well, we've got a special visitor today, so it's out, so we can show the special visitor what we like doing best." I went, "Why, thank you. I'm so glad I've seen that." And that was just a typical of what you are saying,
yes,
with staff coming in.
Yeah.
You know, that little 3-year-old boy told me
everything
I needed to know about that setting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Within that 5-minute observation of that little boy enjoying that time. Yeah. You know, and that's just one example of where, I suppose, you know, we've tried to move so far away from that of, we want a snapshot. We want it to be natural. It was wanted to be a typical day in the life of a child within that nursery. And, you know, there's an element of getting away from all that prep and trying to get away from that, you know, anxiety and stress.
Absolutely.
To get, you know, away from that and out, because I know there's a lot in the media about stress of what Ofsted can do and the implications of the judgment that's made. But I do believe by taking away that announcement, got rid of some of that.
Yeah.
And also, you know, given a truer picture of what it's like. Because ultimately that little boy shouldn't go without paint every day.
Oh goodness, no. No. And it's one of those things, isn't it, that to see a true aspect, you know, like yourself, you've got the skills there as an Ofsted inspector to be able to read what's going on, you know, on a day. I mean, the way that I've sold it to my staff a lot of times is like an Ofsted inspection is sometimes like your best of album. Because in normal day-to-day practice, there are times when somebody's noticed that the soap on the sink, for example, has run out. So they've picked up the soap and taken it to the cleaning cupboard. Then while they've been at the cleaning cupboard, somebody's fallen over and you end up doing a accident form.
Yeah.
And then you get back, doing what you're doing, you think, oh my goodness, I didn't put the soap back in the bathroom. You know, the children can't wash their hands with soap. Whereas on Ofsted day, that wouldn't happen because you would just have soap in the bathroom. Because that would be one of the things that you're just thinking, actually, that's one of my important things. I need to make sure that's there. And that's your normal. It's your normal, you know, but on your normal day-to-day practice, you get these little blips, you know, that happen along the way. But, you know, I see Ofsted as a chance to showcase, you know, the great things that you do, but it's got to be immersed in normal, you know. So
normal day-to-day practice.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they are the most, as ever, having done an awful lot of inspections, they are the ones that are most memorable.
Yeah.
Are, you know, the staff teams that will embrace it. And I know it's hard to get to that.
Yes.
But the ones that, right, we are going to showcase. This is us.
Yeah.
We're going to take this opportunity to show you how good we are.
Yeah. And that's best of, isn't it?
Well, you know, we don't have to go looking for evidence then. We don't have to go looking for an example of good hygiene practice or an example of maths in outdoor play.
It's just there.
Because the staff are not, the staff are forthcoming with, excuse me, this is going on in the garden at the moment and we'd really like it if you come and observe that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we don't want to miss those opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me, we did this a few months ago. Can we just take a few minutes to show you,
yeah,
you know, how this... Yeah. It's about being confident and embracing it and showing the best of you. It's your opportunity to shine and give those really good moments that have worked well.
Yeah.
And sharing them. And equally, absolutely, it may well be something that didn't go to plan. But it ultimately then shows how you dealt with the situation,
yeah,
and got the outcome that you did.
And that very much marries up,
yeah,
with what hope settings do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's certainly, you know, the approach we have taken. But then it is down to confidence, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, it would be very unusual for a school to have an Ofsted inspection without the head teacher being there. Yet in a nursery, the way that the inspection, you know, regime works, it's quite plausible that a setting could have an inspection without the manager being there. And that is why, you know, I used to get so nervous about booking family holidays if I knew that we were in that window of inspection, because all of a sudden you're putting a huge amount of responsibility on your staff team.
Yeah.
Because it is, as much as it's day-to-day practice, it's a different kind of stressful day-to-day practice, because again, you want to ensure the best of everything. And if you get asked that question about something, you know, as a manager, I know I can put my hands on X, Y, and Z within moments.
Hmm.
You know, and I can do that, and my staff team have never had to. So why would they? I've told them where, you know, how we dealt with a particular safeguarding issue is kept, because that's been in the past and it might have been 3-4 years ago.
And ultimately, confidentiality might mean that they don't need to know about that
absolutely
either.
So there is like an element of stress, you know, attached to it still. But going back, you know, I run into with my Eureka moment. The other thing I learned was it's really important that we have a regulatory body in early years. You know, it's really important that there is a body that can sense and know if something is going wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think that the current system where you maybe, like for us, we had a 5-hour inspection in 8 years.
Yep.
You know, I don't necessarily think that is a good indicator if things are going wrong sometimes, in that time. The other thing I realised that whilst I know settings can be magnificent, that a lot of settings use their grading as an advertising opportunity.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily tell
the big picture,
you know, the bigger picture of things.
Yeah.
So certainly back in, 2014, I think. So, you know, 10 years ago now, we got outstanding, you know, in our Ofsted inspection. We were absolutely chuffed about that, because up until that point, that had been our goal, you know, was to get outstanding. And we felt we'd arrived somewhere, if that makes sense.
At the official destination.
Yes, yeah. But then actually we realised, you know, nothing much had actually changed.
Yeah.
You know, we were still doing everything we were doing. And yes, it made for a great advertising opportunity. You know, we were able to get a banner outside that said outstanding on it. And I got the little logo, you know, that said outstanding on our head, on a letterhead and things like that. But then I suddenly realised as well, we're only as outstanding as the experiences of the children and the parents at nursery. So somebody was still having a bit of a bad afternoon and felt we hadn't done our job properly, then on that occasion we're actually not very outstanding at that moment in time. Yes, how we deal with it could be in an outstanding manner, but that the experience that child, that parent had at that point was not outstanding. And I kept hold of that because it was I needed a bit of grounding, you know, for initially I was like, woohoo, we're outstanding and this is amazing. And we kept hold of our outstanding until our next inspection, which was last year. And then we went down to good. That wasn't a surprise at all, because COVID changed the way that we ran nursery dramatically.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was 2 years ago we had our last inspection. So we're still very much coming out of COVID. And I knew that keeping hold of outstanding would have had to, you know, it wasn't what I was seeing on a day-to-day basis, because we're on like damage limitation, if that makes sense.
Well, we were all very much in a reactive...
Oh, totally. I was micromanaging situations, you know. It was very much, we have to do this, this and this, because otherwise we're trying to keep these people alive. It's very, sounds dramatic now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But at that time, we felt we were trying to keep children's staff alive by following these rules, not letting parents in, and, you know, all the funky things that we ended up doing. But I knew that these certain elements of our practice, you know, had changed. But I also knew that it wasn't an apathy that I had towards Ofsted, but it was a, our Ofsted grading is not the be all and end all of everything. I know that what we're doing now for these children and for these families is the best that we can do now, if that makes sense.
And I also think as well, as a parent, you get a good gut feeling,
totally,
don't you?
Totally.
When you go into a nursery and you look round at the possibility of sending your child there, it's a gut feeling.
Yeah.
It's a vibe.
Yeah.
Is this a setting for me?
Yeah.
Well, can I work with this setting?
Yeah.
Can I trust them? Do I see my child being cared for here by these group of children? Yeah. Ofsted says it's not inadequate, so they're ticking all the boxes. But does my gut feeling tell me that I will be happy with this establishment caring for my child?
And that's the biggest thing. The amount of cards that we got and letters from parents after our good rating was, I think, when I counted them up, I think 18 of them said, you'll always be outstanding to us.
Yeah.
And that, you know, actually...
That's your accolade, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it was outstanding.
Yeah.
And some of them had been with us for, I'd say, 12 years. We've gone through like 3-4 siblings, you know, with us. Yeah. So they knew us on our good days, they knew us on our bad days. You know, they knew us when we were short-staffed. They knew us when we were doing wonderful things because we had extra staff to do, go out on trips and things like that. They've known us through the highs and the lows. It consisted of new parents that had maybe been to other nurseries and then come to us as well. And that was like, that was our affirmation, if you like.
Yeah.
We were still doing the right thing. But again, it was a challenge because I'm that kind of person. It's like, actually, what do I need to do to get our nursery back
up
to where it is deemed, you know, as outstanding? I think the framework has changed quite a lot. You know, the descriptors have changed quite a lot. And when I went back through the inspection, you know, with my staff, because we are a very reflective setting.
Hmm.
You know, what were they looking for? So, you know, I said to the lady who was inspecting us, what do we need to do? What would we need to do differently to be outstanding? And it's tricky, isn't it? Because that's quite an awkward question, I think, to ask an inspector. There isn't a set answer to that because it's not
that tangible
things.
Missing.
No, it's just that you're working at that level.
Yeah,
and so it was an unfair question to ask.
It's worth a go.
It's worth a go, absolutely. And some of the little things that she mentioned, again, I know would have been there on a different day, you know, different set of staff, different set of children, without the layer of nervousness there, you know, that probably would still have been there. But it's not leaps and bounds, you know, it's just a lot of it is perception, it's teams that was working on the day. And if we are good, then we're good, you know, we're good enough.
Yeah. And also there's an element of personal benchmarking there for inspectors as well.
This particular inspector arrived in red paint and leather shoes to our setting in the middle of the Yorkshire Dales. We probably knew we weren't on a par with our ethos of life at that point. So I was like, yeah, do you want to come out in the garden? I was like, okay, I've got some wellies you can borrow. But yeah, so, you know, sometimes that meeting of minds is very different too.
Yeah.
It's a different situation. But as I say, it's very much, if you're reflective and you're auditing what you're doing on a regular basis and you're benchmarking that against the EYFS, against your safeguarding standards.
It's about self-evaluation all the time, isn't it? It's evolving.
Yeah.
It's ensuring that is an active document or programme within your setting, isn't it? Not just visited once.
Yeah. And outstanding, you know, outstanding is a word.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of them, whilst, you know, it's a fantastic marketing opportunity, actually what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. My friend's in a setting at the moment and they are being told that if they do not retain their outstanding at the next inspection, there'll be really big consequences. And
that's awful.
That's not the right way to motivate, is it? And
gosh,
inspire people. So, you know, just not have that pressure there.
That's huge. Different as well. Motivation. Completely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's no motivation.
They're convinced that if they don't get outstanding, they likely will close. After the next inspection.
That's sad.
It is. It's a different. It's not the right motivation. You know. You've got to be proud of what you're doing, and you've got to be doing the best that you can do every day, and that has got to be, you know, enough, isn't it? It's
But also for somebody to think their business is, you know, can continue or not based on a judgment.
It's worthless because it's not outstanding. Yeah.
You know, and is there really that much difference between good and outstanding?
Yeah. No, we're still the same setting. You know, we've still got the same
things going on. You know, if you came out with an inadequate...
Oh, and that's why...
That's a completely different conversation, isn't it?
And that's why the regulation has got to be there, I think, because there's got to be something which highlights practice which needs improving, practice which is putting children at risk.
Yeah.
There's got to be something there which does that.
But the regulation and the inspection framework is always about improvement through inspection. We want to raise the standards, as all of us do. We want to raise the standards of the quality of care that children get.
It's hard because good is such a vast, isn't it? Like good is just underneath outstanding, and good is just above inadequate. You know, requires improvement. So it's huge. You know, it's an enormous. It scoops up a lot of settings, it doesn't sit in the middle.
It does,
And that's hard, I think, sometimes. But at the same time, you know, we've always worked on anybody coming into our setting, we want to do the best for them. So we've got our own little ways of reflecting on what we're doing. So, you know, if we go through our visitors book, for example, and if I know somebody's been and they haven't been signed in, that's not us doing the right thing. You know, if the man who comes to fix the cooker is seeing children being sad or, you know, not having their needs met, then they're a really good indicator of whether we're doing the right thing or not. So having some sort of system where any professional working with that setting, you know, we've got health visitors, speech and language therapists that are actively coming into our setting, their viewpoint means an awful lot to us, you know.
Absolutely.
And how they're perceiving what we're doing and how we're communicating with them.
Because ultimately as well, they're going to be asked, what settings do they recommend?
Oh, totally, totally. And it's your reputation, isn't it?
Those professionals.
And it must be the same in some respects with training providers like Eden. Because if you've got, you know, an apprentice from Eden within a setting, and you may be hearing bad practice from elements of what they're telling you, or you're picking up on through training sessions and things like that. That be it electronically, but you are in that setting, you know, whilst you're on that Teams call for that amount of time.
And we've still got a safeguarding responsibility as well.
There's that dialogue. So again, that in the information that other people like training providers can give are endorsements. So again, that was another thing when we had a new Ofsted coming, is we tried to keep a level of communication from all the professionals that we're working with to feed into that. So we had like a reference, if you like, from our training providers, from our local children's centre, from the helpers, to the speech and language therapists that we're working with. And that all adds as layers of evidence, if you like,
Absolutely.
As to why you're doing the job well that you're doing. Because with all the rest of the world, all those professionals can't be in your setting on the day that Ofsted comes.
Absolutely.
You know, and it'll be horrible.
And that's why also, you know, inspectors look for a triangulation of evidence. You know, we're looking for discussion, there's observation, there's documentation, and that triangulation all builds up to a picture of what's it like for a child here.
So as I say, as a regulatory thing, it's really important that we have got bodies like Ofsted
having that confidence to just relax and engage with the human that turns up on the day.
Absolutely.
In the setting.
It's you know, it's got to have a layer taken away. It's not about what we can do for Ofsted, actually.
Yeah.
Turn it around. What can Ofsted do for us to make
Absolutely.
Sure we're doing our job right?
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, isn't it?
Well, that concludes today's episode. Thank you, Heather, for your time. And we look forward to having you back on sometime.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.